Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere, all across the land. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, DJ Culp. As always, here with my beloved brother-in-law, Bradley Coleman. What's up, Brad?
Bradley. I know your family.
Could have said Bradford.
But that would be incorrect. There was a teacher. It's funny. There's a teacher in high school that I never had in class. But I was like, I don't know. People knew who I was. And she would see me coming down the hall, and she would call me Bradford. She'd be like, Bradford. That's not my name.
Yeah.
Who is this Bradford you speak of? Hey, definitely it's Bradley. My mother said it would never be Brad. It's Bradley.
Bradley.
I made it to kindergarten because they gave me an option. And Brad is a lot easier to write.
That's right.
Not saying I'm lazy, but maybe when you can write four letters.
Well, Brad, dude, I mean, it should be no secret to our listeners that you and I are quite straight white men with loving wives and having lots of love for Jesus and our families. Dude, you look really sharp, man, whenever your beard is trimmed and you've got a fresh
haircut. It's like, where's he going with this?
Yeah, I don't know. Seriously, man, like, you pull off the shaved head and the beard so well. I just want you to know, like, I know that when it comes time for me to shave, I'm not going to look as awesome as you. I think I look more awesome now.
Well, I don't think I could pull off the hat that you're wearing.
Oh,
and I think you pull it off very well.
So. Thank you. I think that, like, I don't necessarily know if you'd be able to pull this hat off, but I don't know what they're called.
My wife has assured me that I cannot.
Oh, okay. Got it. Well,
now, I don't know. I'm pretty sure she feels like you pull it off just fine, but she was like, no, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
It won't look right.
I think you'd be able to pull off the, again, I don't know what I'm going to call it a canvas hat, but like it's got a bill, like a ball cap, but it's almost like a squarish, you know, like it just kind of comes up and then it's pretty much flat on top. Almost like an old army hat. I think you'd be able to pull those off really well.
I've secretly always wanted to wear a suit with a boulder hat.
What's a boulder hat?
You know, like the rounded top, Old West, like Hoss Cartwright.
Oh, dude, those look so good. Yeah, man.
Pocket watch.
See, I have always wanted to be able to wear a pork pie hat. But like a fedora adjacent. I can't. It's not me, man. But dude, they look so good. And I know that's like real hipster thing, but I do. I wish that I could wear that. It's just not me. It's really not. And I had a fedora. I don't know if you've ever seen me with a fedora on. Have you?
Not that I remember.
I tried it. It's just not me. Again, I love the look, but I think these hats are where it's at.
I used to wear a cowboy hat, which my wife said.
Did you really?
Yeah, still got it.
I don't see, dude. I can't see you in a cowboy hat. I know, as country as you are, it should work. It's not you.
Now that's pre-beard, so that I don't know. You know how much that affects. I mean, not pre-beard, but pre current
Yeah, right.
level of beard. Well, I mean, I guess pre-beard because I had a goatee.
Yeah.
Oh, my wife liked it. That's all that matters. So I keep it around.
The really Tabitha likes the cowboy hat?
Tabitha loves the cowboy hat.
That's strange. I didn't know that about her.
She also likes me with a fitted cap backwards. And she does
Yeah.
not like it if it's not a fitted cap. She's like, that
That's
looks
exactly.
dumb.
Yeah.
Turn that back
I
around.
am
That
the
looks
same
dumb.
way, dude. Yeah, I don't like ball caps that snap in the back. No, they got to be fitted. All right, so Brad, here's what we're going to do today. We are going to do a few more memes that I've got lined up for you. And then I want to rapid fire, or maybe not rapid fire, but I want to throw out some quotes. Famous Christian quotes, and let's just talk about them.
Okay, I was like, am I gonna have to try to match them to people? Because I'm
Yeah,
really bad at
right. Yeah,
that.
who said this,
Just
Brad?
listen to my sermons. I was like, there's some preacher that said this. I try to give credit, but I'm like, I don't remember. It's like, it was either Toby Mac or C.S. Lewis or somebody like that. I don't know.
All right, here we go, Brad. You ready? Meme number one.
I'm ready. Numero uno. To prove that people will argue about anything, here is a rock. No, DJ, it's a picture of her.
Are you sure it's not a stone? Is it a
Yeah, well,
boulder?
and
Yeah.
that, see, and we're like, it's not really a sermon illustration. Immediately where I went was like Simon Peter, you know, he's the rock.
He's the
Like
rock.
versus,
Yeah.
or like Peter is rock versus Simon, which means some. And then, of course, like before I read it, I was like, oh, I mean, Cain and Abel, you know. I mean, we don't really know. It doesn't say it was a rock,
I mean,
but most
what did
people
I
think,
yeah, I'm curious, what
probably
did
a
he use?
rock.
He's probably
Probably
a
a rock. I mean,
rock.
it could have been something else. He was a hunter. I mean, he probably wasn't hunting with rocks, you know. just so people argue about anything. I mean, man, where could you go? Probably, I'd
Business
probably go
meetings.
with, oh yeah, I'd probably go with Pete, with Peter's letters, where Peter said that there is n the scripture is not open for man's interpretation. Like, obviously, we have different ways that we interpret it
Right.
things, but the point is, we're either right or wrong. Now, we're probably not all right about any of it. God warns us about that, I think, with if anybody thinks he knows anything, doesn't yet know as he ought to know.
Right.
But the point is that you can't just take scripture and make it what you want to make it. Like you have to try to look for what scripture is in the context and all of this stuff, that it's not open for you to call it something it's not. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people have misused it throughout the ages. Whether to manipulate people or to hurt people or to draw or to get people to go away from Christ or not believe
Yeah.
in Christ because that. So that's probably where I go. I'd be like, look, it's not up for interpretation. It's a rock, dude. It's a rock. It's a stone. These are different words for the
No,
same
it's a
thing.
stone. Look at how the bones. Sorry. All right. Meme number two.
Some people are like slinkies, not really good for much, but bring a smile to your face when pushed down the stairs. Okay.
It's not very
So,
Christianly of us, is it? Push people
right.
downstairs.
And so I think on one hand, I would go, look, we all feel like this sometimes.
Yeah, go, Brad.
You know, the Bible in the Psalms, there's a psalm, and some atheists and people who are anti-Christian have used it against, try to use it against Christianity. Oh, God. Because there's one while they're in the Babylonian captivity, it's a psalm about that, and it's like, blessed are those who bash their babies against the wall. And I'm like, okay, one, it's a psalm, a psalm.
Yeah, right.
So, kind of a song, a prayer, a poem. It is. Some artistic expression,
Yeah, not
the way that
literalism.
they're
Yeah.
feeling, not really what it's saying. Like, yes, those people will be blessed. It's Kind of, I would say, more akin to when people go, just shoot me.
That's
If you pull
right.
out a gun, when people say that, they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
That's not what I
What are you doing? Well, you said to just shoot me. Yeah, well, I was expecting, see, my mom would, if you're like, just shoot me, my mom go bang. If you said it in front of her today, she'd probably say that. She'd go bang. That's my mom's sense of humor. Okay,
That's funny.
bang. So on one hand, I would go like, look at that. Here is that. It can be an expression. But then you also have these scriptures that talk about how if evil is happening to your enemy and you basically start rejoicing about it, then God is going to be like, and relent
Yeah.
from that.
Right.
Like, because again, God's concerned about your heart too. And God doesn't rejoice when bad things like happen. And he doesn't want you to rejoice when bad things happen.
Yeah.
Oh, ha, he's getting what he deserves. Yeah, that's a horrible thing. That's a horrible thing. Yes, there's justice, but and then I love, the verses that talk about how God loves mercy, rather than justice, prefers mercy. I like that he prefers mercy. So, yeah,
Absolutely.
there you go.
All right.
Thought you were going to get me on that one, didn't you?
I did.
Thought that was you in the middle there for a second. You see those vehicles taking an alternate route over there? We need to start construction over there too. Yeah. Feels like that sometimes, doesn't it? Feels like they're conspiring.
That's right.
Again, this is my first thought is, when Jesus is like, hey, you tear down this temple, I'll rebuild it in 3 days, and they're like, it took 46 years, not 47. What a
That's right.
wrong temple, dude. Probably just simply cheat a little bit and go, James, consider it all joy when you face various trials, my brethren, for you know that it's working. What it's working in you is that patience. I mean,
Yeah.
you'd almost circum like again, this is a little sketchy. I'm just gonna throw that out there. You almost go with those guys are angels.
Okay.
Hey, this guy needs some more patience. You see
Yeah,
how
right.
he got that figured out over there?
Yeah, right.
He prayed for patience. So we gotta go mess that up.
That's right. That's right.
Gotta go
Yeah,
mess it up too.
he thinks he can find a way around this.
Yeah. That is the bad theology one, by the way. Don't
Yes, that's exactly
that's not one I would actually use in a sermon illustration unless I was just trying to be funny.
right. Okay, Brad. Last one. Do you want number 2 or number 20?
Oh,
Actually, let's do this. Let's do 2, 15, or 20.
always a good number two.
Number 2. I just want you to know, you, Brad, are going to love this.
Oh.
As a pastor, Brad, you are going to love this. Here we go.
All right. So here's the thing. I was like, yeah, make it a little bigger. We'd now like to open the floor to shorter speeches disguised as a question. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or an accusation or a lot of
So,
other prayer
for
requests,
our
but yeah.
listeners, it's a picture of a man standing at a podium in a meeting with a line of people behind a microphone
Yeah.
saying, "We'd now like to open the floor to shorter speeches disguised as questions."
I think you could probably use this for just about any time the Pharisees, the Sadducees,
Right.
come up to Jesus. Like there's
Yeah.
like they're really not wanting Jesus to answer their question. They're trying to trap Jesus
Right.
in something, and they never do. That's the beautiful thing. Is these guys are smart. They're smart. They've thought this out. They probably had some powwows and brainstorming sessions about what kind of question could we ask him to trap him. You know, like Schrödinger's cat, is it alive or is it dead?
That's right.
And they never stump Jesus. Matter of fact, a lot of times he stumps them right in return. He's like, oh, well, answer me this. John the Baptist, was he from God or wasn't he? Because he knows it's like no matter what they say, because if they say he was from God, then the people will be like, well, how come you didn't, you know, listen to him? But if they wasn't, then people were going to riot because, man, John was highly, you know, thought of in their book. So, you know, things like that. I love the fact that the only thing that they could pin on Jesus to even get him crucified was that he was claiming to be the Son of God,
That's it.
which he
You're
is.
exactly right.
So the only thing that they could pin on Jesus was the fact that he was saying he was God.
And you know, and like just right here in the moment, Brad, one of the things that I usually retreat to when I'm thinking about the, you know, the crucifixion story, which is pretty apt considering that. Well, this ep is going to drop the day after Easter. So happy Easter, Brad. He is
Oh,
risen.
that's right. He is risen indeed.
He is
I'm
risen indeed.
Baptist. I'm not supposed to
Yeah,
know
that's right.
that,
Yeah,
but
right.
I don't care. I take from wherever.
That's right. But, you know, when I think about the crucifixion story, one of the things that I usually kind of land on and I park at for a bit, just sort of reflect on, is the fact that no matter how many times Pontius Pilate questioned Jesus, Jesus didn't have much to say, but what he never said was, "Yes, I am King of the Jews." Because I honestly think that if he did, and this is just off the top of my head, but I've often wondered, like, why didn't he identify himself? I mean, he was so close to death that I'm wondering that if he said, "Yes, I am King of the Jews," would that have actually, for Pontius Pilate, confirmed that, or I'm not going to say his suspicion, but would that have confirmed to Pontius Pilate that what the Jews were accusing him of was then true
Well,
from the accusation side?
I would argue that he did. I would argue that what he says to Pontius Pilate when he says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He says, "Yes, I'm." He says, "It is as you say." So he is
Oh, okay. That's
responding.
right. That's
He
right.
is responding, "Yes, it's an affirmative. I am."
That's right. I forgot about that line.
Which I think probably, now this is my speculation, probably makes Pilate more nervous because. Does he have the authority to crucify a king? Or is that something that needs to go to Caesar? But yeah, he puts on his thing. He's the king of the Jews. And they say,
It is
no,
as
put
you
on it that he
say.
said he's the king of the Jews. And Pilate goes, I put what I put.
Got it.
Yeah. I think Pilate, though, Pilate's an interesting character. He obviously starts to see that I shouldn't be crucifying Jesus. His wife, you know, has this dream or whatever and warns him, and he's like, I'm gonna wash my hands of it. And people, I think oftentimes we try to take that, we try to go, I'm just gonna wash my hands of it. Yeah, well, it didn't work for Pilate.
You're
I
not
think
allowed.
that didn't make him like not guilty
I
of
think
being
that,
part of it.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, but I really think that when Pontius Pilate said, "I'm going to wash my hands of it," he was attempting to what we call plead the fifth. Like I
Basically,
want
he's trying to say, this isn't on me, it's on you.
this as yeah, this
Yeah.
isn't on me. I have no responsibility in this
Yeah.
matter. When in actuality, yeah, you do.
Well, in actuality, we all do, really. I mean, all of our sin is the reason Jesus went there. I think the beautiful thing is, it's Jesus is speaking to everyone, too. Like I heard somebody say recently, when Jesus is on the cross and he says, forgive them. You know, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they do. That it would have been normal for prisoners and it would have been expected for those guys being crucified to be casting out, like cursing everybody around. You know,
I didn't know
you
that.
and the horse that you rode into, which I mean makes sense. They're being crucified and generally speaking, probably for a decent reason, you know, they actually did something
to warrant it.
So they're. So it makes sense that they're probably right, that they're cursing everybody. But what does Jesus do? He does the opposite.
He has compassion.
Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But yeah, there's so much there. I don't even remember what we started the question now. I'm so into like, it was like, oh, it's Easter and boom. And here we're talking about Pilate. And I'm like, wait, what were we talking about before that? Because I'll just go down that Easter trail, bunny trail.
We were talking about people that have shorter speeches that they tried to disguise as a question. It's my turn to
I don't
talk.
have short speeches. It doesn't matter. I've never
That's
been
funny.
accused of having too short of a speech. Well, Brad, if you just said some more, if you just said a little more, maybe we'd understood.
All right. Well, let's talk about some quotes. I wanted to kind of do something different today. And so I found some Christian quotes. And I haven't really looked through these, so these are going to be just sort of off the cuff. But I want us to just kind of talk about them, and because I think it's important for, I know for me, I think it's really, it has been important in my development as, coming up through adulthood, not just to focus on scripture, but to focus on Christian ideas and Christian ideals that people have like set aside from scripture. And when I say it that way, yes, no man can live on bread alone, but from every word that comes from God's mouth. So yes, obviously scripture should be the most central part of our life. But oftentimes, and I've heard it said before that we as humans are storytellers. And even
Which makes
though,
sense, since
huh?
Jesus told stories.
Yeah,
I said it makes
Jesus.
sense, since
Yeah, it
Jesus told
does. Yes.
stories.
Yeah, but when I say, when, like where I'm headed, where I'm headed with this thought is scripture, it should be the most central part of our life, but the way that we interact with each other isn't just by quoting scripture, nothing more. Obviously, we take scripture, we take our own life experiences, we take our surroundings, we mix it all together, and we talk to each other based on that information. So it's really important, has been important for me anyways, Brad, to think like this person over here, he or she is held in whatever limelight for whatever reason, and they say these things, and then I'm left to basically decide, is that person right? Is that person wrong? Do I think that person's onto something? So I just think it's important for us to take something that is, we'll say spiritual adjacent, right? Just right next to it, but it's not scripture, but may have truths built into them, and let's just
Well,
kind of tease them out.
is it rooted in the scripture?
Right.
Like you have silly, that's a somewhat silly question, but I mean, you can get into it philosophical. Should I drive a car? Because God doesn't really tell me in the Bible whether I should drive a car. Because when the Bible was written, there weren't really cars, But now the truth behind the question is definitely, you can dig that out. So I think that's kind of what you're saying. In which we make sure that those things are rooted and kind of held against scripture for their value. Was it Paul says, whatever things are excellent, think on these things. So.
All right. Well, let's go with somewhere like let's go with somebody that you and I both certainly have deep affection for, and is I would argue the most influential, I would say the most influential apologist in a lay position that has been a part of the last four generations. But by C.S. Lewis, if we
I
find
was like, I thought it was going
ourselves,
to be a quote from your dad there for a second.
no. Dad's deep. But I think C.S. Lewis has got him. C.S. Lewis has got pretty much everybody. But if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. I'll say it again. If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world.
Yeah. I mean, I like C.S. Lewis, and I like the quote. And again, it makes me again when I gonna hold it against the light of Scripture, right? You have Solomon in Ecclesiastes, where he basically like, I did everything I wanted, I let myself have every pleasure, all of this stuff, and I had all this money, I had all this stuff, I had all the women, I had all of the wine, and I told God I'd do what I do this, and he did it, and I had all the power and the rule, and I come to the conclusion it's vanity.
Every bit of it is
It's
vain.
vanity.
It is all for naught.
But the best thing to do is to seek the Lord and to enjoy the life that he's given us. But yeah, so when trying to find our worth and value, our fulfillment and all of those other things, they fall short.
And I would argue that the human condition, I really want to say this, Brad. I want to say it this way.
Get on
So
the
bear,
call here.
so yeah,
Let's
hey, there I
go.
am. So
Let's
bear
go.
with me. It's okay that humans are like this. It's not okay that we're like this, but at the same time, because that's our reality, like it's okay that the human condition seeks to find things to satisfy itself, and when one thing satisfies in an extremely temporary fashion, whether that is like in minutes or hours or days, sometimes months, and we're left with wanting more, we will go back to it, or we will find other things. But the reason I say it's okay is because, I mean, Jesus understood the nature of our humanity.
I probably wouldn't use the word okay just because of the kind of the
I yeah,
connotation that
let's.
usually okay. Well, the same reason when I tell my kids when somebody's apologizing, like I don't want you to say it's okay. I want you to say I forgive you.
Because it's not okay. Yeah, you're
Right,
right.
because it wasn't okay because you do the offense. So I mean,
Well,
sin is understandable, but it's not okay.
okay, and that's fair. I just don't want to
Yeah.
come across as condemning that our reality is what it is, whether we like it or not, you know? And
Well, that's why we got
so,
Jesus,
That's why we've got
That's
Jesus.
Jesus.
It's
There's no condemnation to those
that's right.
who are in Christ Jesus.
And so I think that when if and here's where I think here's where the sort of like the existential problem comes in, that if and hopefully we get to a point of realizing that the pattern of behavior or behaviors still do not satisfy no matter what we do, then we really should land on, I think, Lewis's quote here, right? I'll read it again. If we find ourselves with the desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. If in fact we get to the point of our behaviors that tell us there is nothing that I can do to satisfy my every need every day,
Well, and I think
either I am deplete, or, and I hope that we don't land there, or I really like there is something out there that other people seem to have that I don't. And like you mentioned with Solomon, what is it? It's the love of Christ. It's not the stuff that we get or the stuff that we have, but it's the love of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. It is the communion with the Son and the Father and the Spirit that actually makes our lives worth it on the other side of wanting stuff.
Well, there's those who have said, if you have God in everything, he who has God in everything, like Solomon, we could argue, has no more than he who has God and nothing. Right. So the poor man, the widow with her two mites who had God and nothing was just as rich as Solomon. Because all of those other things are, as Solomon said, just vanity.
It's just vanity.
And I know there's people who might be listening, and we would be tempted to say the same thing. It's like, well, I mean, well, then give me, I'll still take Solomon's Sides. We still do that because we don't listen to Ecclesiastes. We don't believe it. I think in our humanity, in our sinful humanity, we are like, no, yeah, but I think because we know, if I have money and I go buy a new car, it sparks some happiness for a while.
I
For
think
a
there,
while. And there's nothing wrong with buying a new car. You
no,
can
there's
afford it,
not.
go buy it.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And be happy with that. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's okay.
But if
Right.
you f but if that becomes your if that becomes an I idol, right? That becomes your source of joy. Guess what? One, it's going to decay, right? You're going to be driving down the road and
It's gonna
somebody's got a newer, nicer.
it
You're going to
Brad's
ride with a friend and
it's
bells and
gonna it's gonna
whistles.
decay 50% of its own value as soon as you drive it
And
off
when you drive it off the lot,
the
yeah.
lot. Yeah.
Now again, I love pizza. I love a good pizza. Makes me temporarily happy. But if I find my happiness in pizza, guess what? That's a sorry savior.
Yeah.
A sorry thing to worship.
Yeah, it is.
But again, I think that's where God talks about receiving all of these gifts from him with thanksgiving. That they come from God, that their ability to make these things come from God. The fact that coffee exists, it's because of God. The fact
Yes.
that man was able to discover that you can take these beans and brew them with some water and it makes an amazing bitterness that your brain doesn't
Doesn't
find
really know what to
sweet,
do with it first, yeah.
but it's like this. It's good. And I think, and we th be thankful for it,
Yeah.
yeah. Somebody's probably going to say something about coffee at my funeral,
I hope so.
but
I
I hope they
will.
say, but I hope they say a whole lot more about Jesus.
That's right. Yeah. Is he still
I don't.
talking
I
about
don't. I'm
coffee?
getting up like,
I
you
thought
know what,
Brad was deeper
Brad?
than that.
You know what, Brad really loved? He really loved coffee and pizza. Not generally together, but he
Not at
loved
the
those
same
two.
time. Yeah,
But he loved those
right.
two things. I hope my life, again, I hope that's just the flare, little flare here. I hope they go, but man, you know what he really loved? Jesus
He loved
and
Jesus.
other people. And while he was drinking his coffee.
Speaking of coffee, I do want to make a little blurb here, right here in the middle of the show. We want to
Blurb.
thank
I
Green
don't even know
Frog
how to
Coffee
make a
Company,
blurb.
a blurb. I'm going to make it.
Blurb. Here we go. Here's a blurb.
Green Frog Coffee Company here in the Western Tennessee area, is a local coffee shop. They've got a really, really cool backstory. Their owner is a dedicated Christian and wants Christian values to be experienced anytime that you walk in for a cup of joe or a food appetizer. They've got hand-dipped ice cream. They don't dip it with their hands. They dip it
Yes,
with
yeah. I saw a video
with
actually where some
spoons.
guy did a prank like that, set up in a park, hand dipped ice cream for free. Free hand dipped ice cream. People come up and he just dipped his hand in it and put it on a cone. And you know what? People were like, yeah, no, that's not what I expected. I'm good. No thanks. And nobody took his ice cream. Didn't have
That's
gloves or
hilarious.
anything. Just
Oh.
rammed his hand
Dude,
down
that
in the
would be
ice cream.
such a hilarious sociology experiment.
Yeah, it
Oh,
was.
it's so good.
I could approve of the experiment, but at the same time, would never do that as an introvert. I felt
Yeah.
so stressed
Yeah,
just
well, at
thinking
Green Frog
about
Coffee
that.
Company, Brad, you don't have to worry
No,
that about them using their hands.
that's right. They use a scoop.
They use a scoop, but no, they like wonderful people. Shout out to all the people at the north location. Shelby and Zach is the manager and assistant manager. Great folks. So they've come alongside us, and they're promoting the show at their location, and we want to do the same on our show. So thank you. Shout out to
Yeah.
Green Frog Coffee Company and go check them out.
Coffee is so good that DJ would drink it.
That DJ would drink it. That's exactly
And
right. That's a big
if you know
deal,
the two of
man.
us, it
Yeah.
is a big deal because I'm a coffee drinker, right? If I can't get a good cup of coffee, I'll drink a bad cup of coffee because I need my coffee. DJ is a little bit more of a coffee snob.
Yeah, I don't know,
Like,
man. Bad
I'll just
cup.
die. No,
I'll
I'm not
just
drinking that.
die. Yeah, right. If this is what
So.
coffee will be like for the rest of my life,
Yeah.
I think I can live without it. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's yeah. I've gotta have good coffee. All right, so Brad, here's our next one. Sometimes life is so hard you can only do the next thing. Whatever that is, just do the next thing. God will meet you there, by Elizabeth Elliot. Sometimes life is so hard you can only do the next thing. Whatever that is, just do the next thing. God will meet you there.
Elizabeth Elliot. And see, you gotta know the story to really pull
I
out
don't know who
the
that
strength
is.
of
I've
your. You
never,
don't know who Elizabeth Elliot
I
is? Oh
don't know
my
who Elizabeth
gosh.
Elliot is.
Well, I'm about to school you.
Yes, school me, Brad.
You know who Jim Elliot is? No? Oh my
Was he a
goodness,
football
DJ.
player?
Oh, I it's glad you're not here. I could punch you in the face.
I'm sorry.
Be like a slinky,
Yeah, and
knock you
push me
down the
down the stairs.
stairs. Now, Jim Elliot. And these other guys were reaching out to this unreached people group.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah,
down in, I think it
and
was
was killed.
Ecuador. Yeah.
Okay,
And
I know the
so
story.
they had done a lot of things to try to make hey, showing it was peace. They had swapped some things in a basket with the plane and all that, and they decided that they were going to go that day and make first contact. And when they did, they were all killed.
They
They were
were
all
all
speared
killed.
through by this tribe. Now, there was an outroar, like an outpour of like the world when they found out about this. At the time, they wanted for the Ecuadorian government to go in and basically slaughter these people for what they'd done. And Elizabeth Elliot, if I'm not mistaken, is the wife of Jim Elliot. And her and another wife and a daughter. One, they pleaded, please don't do that. That's not what our husbands would have wanted. Because when you know the story, they had a gun, but they had written in one of the diaries that they had a gun, but they would not use it. And if they did use it, it would only be to shoot in the air to try to scare the people. They would not use it to kill them because they knew they were going to heaven and they would not send someone to hell to save themselves, which is amazing. So forward here at Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. Because they were women, they found a woman who had been cast out of the tribe, who was in society. She taught them the language. Because they were women, they were able to go into the tribe. They didn't see them as a threat. And through that, the majority of the tribe ended up accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And matter of fact, the son of Jim Elliot was baptized in the river beside of where his father was killed by the man who killed his father.
I see.
Who God had called to be a pastor. And so, and where does that happen? Unless Jesus is a part of that equation. So now read that qu quote again with all of that.
Sometimes life is so hard you can only do the next thing. Whatever that is, just do the next thing. God will meet you there.
Yeah. And how much
Oh
grief and
man,
how
wow,
much
yeah.
all that were they going through? And I love the scripture, and I think that that echoes the scripture, right? And right off the top of my head, I can't think of the address, but it's those who lean on the Lord, they'll mount on wings like eagles.
That's in
They will
Isaiah, isn't
run
it?
and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And again, that all sounds nice. And I had a guy, I was reading a book, and he pointed out, he's like, you really got to look at that as three separate event times.
Isaiah
Three
40:31, Brad.
separate seasons of, sometimes when we follow God, like, man, we're mounting like the wings like eagles. We're soaring and it's awesome. And sometimes we're running and we're not growing weary. Like we're pushing it. We're not flying, but we're still good. And sometimes we're just walking and we don't pass out. We don't faint. We just keep walking that one step in front of the other. And I think, again, the beautiful thing he was pointing out was like, sometimes you're going to do that, but you got to remember that if you continue to lean on the Lord, there's going to come back that season where you're running. There's going to come back that season where you're flying like eagle. And so, yeah. But no matter what, you put that next step and trust the Lord. And sometimes it's all you can do. I mean, sometimes I'm counseling with people who, they've got a lot of grief, they've got a lot of hurt, they've got a lot of physical and emotional, like trauma, and I'm going, how are you doing? And they're like, well, I'm still kicking, or I'm still making it. I'm just one step at a time, or one day at a time. And sometimes I'll say,
Dude,
yeah, one step at a time, man.
it's exactly right. You know, that's a good word, Brad, that I have heard so often that people in those situations have way, way more of a positive grasp on like hour to hour, day to day than pretty much anybody else does. And yeah, like to see people that are going through, like you were saying, like, chemo or cancer or anything like that, like those types of extremely traumatic sequences of events are usually in it, like their outlook on life is usually way better than everybody else's who doesn't have that. Like, yeah.
And wouldn't you say that it's almost more impressive, or not almost, but is more impressive when those people, right, are praising and trusting God, even though everything in their being doesn't feel like it.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Like, just, you know what? I'm gonna raise my hands because I know the Lord is good, even though I don't feel good.
Yep.
And I think they also, I think some of the people that I know like that tend to see the goodness in like more of God's gifts than I do. Like they recognize,
Yes.
they're like, you know what? Yeah, my whole body hurts, but man, I can breathe.
Well,
And the air, and I can walk outside in that fresh air, and it just
and
the
Brad, like you and I have
sunshine.
mentioned on the show multiple times that in Psalm 23, and still like it, what when you brought this to light, I had just forgotten that it was there, and it really made such an impact on me. As we've mentioned out of Psalm 23, that Jesus or the scripture says that while we are in the valley, whatever valley that is, and however deep and dark a place that it really takes us to, that God will set a table before us in front of our enemies. And whatever that enemy is doesn't necessarily mean, I don't think it doesn't have to be like in a public setting, though it may very well be, but I mean, yeah, the idea coming back to the quote that whatever you have to do, that is the next thing. Just do the next thing. God will be there with you. God will meet you there. He will not abandon you and say, all right, you got to do this on your own this next way, because I'm sick and tired of following you. Like, I'll meet you on the other side. If you can make it through, I'll be there. No, that is not the God that we've served. That's not the God that we've serve. Not at all. And last quote, here we go, Brad. Let's switch gears here since we're starting to run out of time. Last quote that's actually related to this by Charles Spurgeon, incredibly famous, British Baptist pastor. Consider how precious a soul must be when both God and the devil are after it. And let me
Boom.
argue, if any listeners, if either A, you are a skeptic, or B, if you know skeptics that would say, well, of course, that's going to be a religious statement because it has to do with God and the devil. Okay, fine. Let's do it this way. Why don't we replace the devil with society? What is it about the value of the individual that would make society want so desperately for you to follow it? And I would argue that in parallel, it's the exact same, that there, God doesn't make no crap, or God doesn't make no
God
junk.
doesn't. That's what my mom always said. God
Yeah.
don't make no junk. Anytime I would down myself growing up, my mom would like point her finger at me and go, God don't make no junk.
That's right.
God don't make no junk.
There aren't accidents. Now, I know that I have all of my faculties and facilities, and there are people that I know
I think I got most of them.
who have I think it's debatable.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, dude, seriously, the haircut makes up for all of that, But like, I know there's a family actually that we go to church with, the Masseys. Shout out to you guys. Their little girl, Charlotte, had so many complications during and after pregnancy that, dude, medical teams even told them she's really not going to make it. And just go ahead and, and prepare yourselves for that. I
Nick
watched.
Vujicic.
I watched. I don't know what that was. I watched that family refuse to believe that God don't make no junk. And dude, little Charlotte is the most adorable, or one of. I can't. I mean, she's not more adorable than my children, but she is. She's incredibly adorable and sweet, and grateful, and so are they. So yeah, consider how precious a soul must be.
I think you gotta. I think you need. You're gonna go that way. You guys need to go look up a guy named Nick. Here
Nick
he.
Vujicic.
Vujicic, Nick
Vujicic.
Vujicic.
Okay.
He's Australian evangelist and motivational speaker. If you have seen a picture of him or a video of him, you'll know who I'm talking about. He has no arms. He has no legs. He has one little bitty piece of a foot. And he's
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
pretty amazing speaker and evangelist, and just it's he's worth the look up of
Yeah.
somebody who society, or a lot of society, especially in the past, would have just tossed away or said, hey, abort him.
Right.
If you knew that was going to happen, he's not going to have any quality of life. And he's an amazing, at least from what I've seen. I've never met the guy, obviously, but just awesome guy. By the way, is married, and has two sons and two daughters. So,
Yeah. So,
not in and again, world is he's gone around the world. I think just preaching the gospel, and but also just being like, I would even put him in the realm, and I'm not devaluing this, right? Because sometimes in this realm I do kind of with some of those guys, but a motivational speaker.
yeah.
The guys are like, look, you see, I've got these handicaps, but I've been blessed by God.
Yeah.
And he said one time that he asked God and believes that God gave him a miracle. And he felt like God told him, I want you to go be a miracle.
Yeah. And to and Brad, to just to kind of bring our show to a close today, listeners, if you don't need to hear this, but you know somebody who does, remind them. God loves you with every inch of his existence. I mean, God doesn't make accidents
Yeah, or mistakes.
or mistakes. The devil, whether you believe him or not, let's not unpack that, but like the devil wants desperately to screw your soul to its very core in whatever way possible. And that should seriously, that should be all the more evidence to show us that you are in fact valuable, that you have worth. Because if somebody is out to screw you over, that means that you bring something to the table that they want.
Or at
Right? I
least
mean,
they
that's
went
I
out of
mean
the way.
Right, yeah, I mean that's just basic, that's basic competition. I mean, that's all that is. Gosh, man.
Doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter where you've been,
Nope.
doesn't matter who you come from or your what your past is, doesn't matter how dark you think it may have been. Like when Jesus died on the cross, and again, as we're coming out of the Easter celebration, when he died on the cross, he paid for all that. And he did it
Every
for
bit of it.
you.
Yeah.
He did it for me, and he did it for DJ. And I think the beautiful thing is, like, and some people would argue with me, and we don't have time for that theological discussion. But I think if you were the only one, he'd have done it for you
Yeah. And
because of his love.
just take it to the bank, guys. And if you don't believe us, go read about it.
Yeah,
You know?
it's
I
a great
mean,
story.
it is a great story. Yeah.
the greatest.
All right, Brad. Let's land this plane. Listeners, you know what to do. Follow
Full
us.
sound effect.
And there's Brad's face. If you're watching on YouTube, which we, by the way, have a YouTube channel, subscribe to the YouTube channel. You get to see these conversations. You get to see Brad and Tabitha's china cabinet behind him, and you get to see
Which
my
was
office
free, was
space.
given to us.
Oh,
Praise the
nice,
Lord. Yeah,
dude.
it was a
Heck yeah.
gift. Who would?
So subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/atmenchurchstuff. You can follow us on our Facebook group page and on Instagram. Engage with us. We've got questions that we'll pose fairly often, wanting to for our listeners to reach out and let us know what they think about some things. Next week, there will be another dramatic reading. So Brad, you've got that to look forward to. as do I.
And we do have going to be coming up. I have the PowerPoint from your
Oh,
student
do
with
you
the
really?
quotes from
Oh
Dr.
my
DJ. I
gosh.
have that in my possession and have not going to drop anything about it, but it will be worth tuning in for part two.
For part two of quoting Dr. Culp.
Definitely be worth tuning in.
Oh, that's funny, Brad.
DJ is a very Dr. Culp is a very quotable fellow, and look forward to some conversation about Fed quotes.
All right.
So
Oh,
we got to
that's
get that
funny,
on
man.
there.
All right, so everyone, we love you guys. We really do, and we hope that you love our show. Share the show. Let people know that that Brad and I are doing this. We love meeting together, and we love talking over stuff like this. So just to let everybody know, we'll have some pictures, but in 4 weeks, Brad, 4 weeks from today, you and I and Dad are on the lake fishing. So I'm stoked about it. But beyond that, Brad, I love you, buddy.
I love you too. Bye.
Listeners, we love you, and we will catch you next time.
Yeah, go be his church.